Lilaps, and Alopex tumesios. One of the gifts that Procris received was a remarkable dog called Lilaps, which had the power to catch anything, absolutely anything, that it pursued. Set it to chase a deer, boar, bear, lion, or even human being, and it could never fail to bring its quarry down. The second gift, of equal value, was a javelin that would always hit its mark. Whosoever was possessed of both could rightly call themselves the greatest mortal hunter in the world. Little wonder that Cephalus was pleased to welcome his wife, laden with such gifts, back to hearth and home, bosom and bed. The reputation of Cephalus now grew and grew. Tales of his hunting skills were whispered in awe from province to province. News reached the ears of the Theban regent, Creon. Creon was that soul of pragmatism and good governance whose tragic family history was the subject of Sophocles' Theban cycle of plays, Oedipus the King, Oedipus at Colonus, and Antigone. I played him when I was 16 and received reviews. I'll say no more. As so often in its benighted history, Thebes at this time was being laid low by a scourge. In this instance, a ferocious fox, called locally the Cadmean Vixen, and feared throughout the Greek world as Alopex tumesios, the Tumesian fox, a marauder whose special gift was that it was divinely ordained never to be caught, no matter how many dogs, horses, or men were on her trail or set in position to trap her. It was thought this vulpine terror was unleashed by Dionysus, still thirsting for revenge upon the city that had shunned and mocked his mother Semele. An increasingly desperate Creon, having heard tell of the almost supernatural gifts of Cephalus and his wonder dog Lilaps, sent word to Athens begging to borrow it. Cephalus was happy enough to lend Creon the marvellous hound, which was soon set on the fox's trail. The ensuing debacle reveals a marvellous quality of the Greek mind, their fascination with paradox. What happens when an uncatchable fox is set upon by an inescapable hound? This is akin to the problem of the irresistible force meeting an immovable object. Round and round dashed the Cadmean vixen, while hot on her tail flew Lilaps, from whom no prey could escape. They would still be caught in that logic loop now, I suppose, if Zeus hadn't done something about it. The king of the gods looked down at the sight and pondered the strange, self-contradicting problem that presented such an affront to all proper reason and sense, and so vexingly subverted the notions embodied in that marvellous Greek word, nous. Zeus's authority was underwritten by a deep law that said no god had the power to undo the divine enchantments of another. This meant that the dog and the vixen were fated to be locked in this impossible condition forever, making a public mockery of the order of things. Zeus solved the conundrum by turning the fox and the dog to stone. In this way, they stayed frozen in time, their perfect possibilities unachieved for eternity, their destinies forever unreconciled. At length, even this locked state seemed to him to present a challenge to common sense, so he catastrophized them, removed them to the heavens, where they became the constellations of the greater and lesser dogs, Canis Major and Canis Minor. Cephalus and Procris, I am sorry to say, did not prosper long. Deprived of Lilaps, but still armed with the enchanted javelin that could never fail to find its target, Cephalus loved nothing better than rambling about the hills and valleys that surrounded Athens, taking what prey he happened on. One fiercely hot afternoon, after 3 hours chasing and spearing, tired and drenched in sweat, he lay down to doze. The heat of the day, even in the shade of his favourite great oak, made him uncomfortable. "Come, Zephyrus," he called up lazily to the west wind. "Let me feel you on my skin. Embrace me, calm me, ease me, soothe me, play on me." By the greatest misfortune, Procris had come out to where Cephalus was to surprise him with a dish of olives and some wine. Just as she drew near, she heard her husband's last few words. "Let me feel you on my skin. Embrace me, ease me, soothe me, play on me." After all that show of possessive rage, he was now betraying her? Procris could not believe her ears. The dish and the wineskin fell from her nerveless fingers, and she gave an involuntary gasp. Cephalus sat up. What was that, stumbling in the undergrowth? That snuffle? A pig, by heaven! He reached for his spear and threw it towards the bushes from which the noise had come. He had no need to be careful in his aim. The enchanted javelin would do all the work. It did. Procris expired in his grieving arms. A charmingly strange and unhappy tale. In Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, Bottom and his confused friends memorably mangle the names of these doomed lovers in their performance of Pyramus and Thisbe. Not Schaffelus to Procris was so true as Schaffelus to Procris, I to you. It all came about, we should remind ourselves, because Cellini had decided to abduct an appetizing mortal.